We're in the middle of a sermon series called God's Invitation to Bless, how God invites us to share the blessings with others that we have received from God. Let's listen now to our New Testament scripture. It's from the very beginning of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And as you listen, I invite you to think about how God invites us to bless others through this passage. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and to Judea and all Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Sometimes the ends of the earth are as close as your hometown. I was talking to my dad on the phone the other day, and of course the conversation turned around to what he and his lady friend have been doing socially. It seems like all of our phone calls turn around to what he and his lady friend have been doing socially, and he told me in between concerts and in between dinner parties and in between movies, which reminded me how much more full their social life is than my social life, he mentioned that he had invited a recent widower to go with them to a restaurant. And it made me think about Easter when the two of them had invited another recent widower to join them after church. And then another time came up in my mind where they had invited another recent widower, and I said, Dad, do you do this on purpose? Is this your, sounds like this could be your ministry, reaching out to recent friends who have lost their spouse. And he said, well, I can understand why you would use that word, which I'm taking in the best possible way. I can understand why you would use that word, but it's not one that I've ever thought of, but yeah, it makes sense, I guess. So, Dad has an example of witnessing. Our scripture today from the book of Luke talks about, the book of Acts talks about witnessing. Now, of course, Acts is the sequel to the book of Luke. It's the same author, the same guy who wrote the Gospel of Luke wrote the book of Acts. You might say that the Gospel of Luke is like Avengers Infinity War, and the book of Acts is like Avengers Endgame, except with a lot less violence, a lot less snarky repartee, and a lot fewer finger snaps. So all throughout the book of Luke, Jesus is trying to help his disciples understand what the kingdom of heaven will look like. As Sarah said, it's going to be a power that's quiet and calm, and not a military might they were looking for. And yet the disciples, even after hearing all of Jesus's ministry, they ask him in the middle of this passage, Lord, is this finally the time when you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this finally the time when Israel's going to return to its power? This is one of those passages where we learn again that they don't call them the disciples for nothing. Jesus tells them no. In fact, he tells them that they're going to be his witnesses. Not to military might, but witnesses to God's kingdom of love unconditional love, and grace. So in this passage, Jesus gives them two commands. The first is that they would witness, and the second is that they are to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Those are the two commands, witness and wait, wait and witness. Let's start out with witnessing first. Witnessing, you know what my dad did when he invited those widowers out to lunch, showing compassion to them. Now, I'm not positive that Beaver Creek, Ohio is the ends of the earth, but I think that you can see it from there. So, but showing compassion like Dad did is one way that we witness. When people are sad or downtrodden, people who have the odds against them, when we show compassion to them and care for them, like we do for a neighbor who's going through a divorce, or like we do for a friend who is struggling with cancer. Those are acts of compassion, and they're a very important way that we witness to other people. But there are really three categories of the way that we witness. There's acts of compassion. Then there's social justice, where we advocate for the structures of society to change so that people will experience more of the life that God wants for them. So it might include arguing for better governmental policies. It might be arguing for better business practices. But the idea that we fight the structural problems in society, that's social justice. And then the third kind of witness is evangelism, where we actually open our mouths and say something about Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit, tell our story of faith and help others to understand it, even if they never come to faith themselves. So I was trying to figure out a situation where all three of these kinds of witness come together. You know, the acts of compassion and social justice and evangelism. And I thought about God's desire that homelessness would end. So in terms of social justice, we might advocate to the Lake County Board that they set up more affordable housing here in Lake County. That would be one way to address that through our witness. Another way to address it through our witness is through acts of compassion. And that's what many of you participate in when you give food for PADS, the Lake County's only homeless services. When you give food towards that, or maybe you've gone to volunteer there and to serve food or to watch over the men as they're getting ready to go to bed. Those are extreme acts of compassion. And then, of course, there's evangelism, but I had a hard time thinking of an example of when we witness through our words in this situation. And in fact, the more I thought about it, the more I thought that the clients of PADS do a lot more witnessing to us through their words than we do to them. They say things like, "Thank you so much for coming and serving us tonight. It is such a blessing from God that you're here when we need you." Or they offer the prayer before the meal and they say, "Thank you, God, so much for providing for us in all these different ways. And God, give us peace and hope. Amen." Or sometimes it's something like, "This mac and cheese is a blessing to God, to the world, from God to the world." It's things like that. But the thing is, they are much more likely to evangelize and speak about their faith to us than we are to speak out about our faith to them. And that really shouldn't be a surprise, because Presbyterians, we're not that good at actually opening our mouths and saying something about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. We are much more reluctant about that. It makes us nervous. It makes us uncomfortable. We're much less likely to witness in this way than we are through social justice or through acts of compassion. In fact, you know, St. Francis of Assisi, he said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Have you ever heard that? Forget it. That is the worst advice for Presbyterians ever. Forget it. Act as if St. Francis never, ever said that. There was a survey of Presbyterians, hundreds of Presbyterians across the country, talking about the different ways that we live out our faith, and the very last one, the lowest one, was evangelism. actually saying something about our story. So witnessing, that's one of God's commands, one that we don't do so well at, especially in terms of evangelism. But that's not the only command. The other command is to wait on the Holy Spirit. And I think we do a much better job waiting than we do witnessing, right? We do a much better job of waiting and keeping our mouth shut and waiting until the right time and waiting and waiting and waiting. In fact, we're not alone in this. One of my mentors said that this passage has the only command in the Bible that the disciples were all too ready to listen to and follow, which was wait. Don't do anything. Sit here. And the disciples did, and we do. So waiting, we're good at. But waiting isn't the whole command. The second command is wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's different from just waiting, right? Waiting for the Holy Spirit to equip us to do what we don't feel like doing. Waiting for the Holy Spirit to light a fire in us to do something we don't feel equipped to do. Waiting on the Holy Spirit to help us to witness with our words. I think it's something that works, actually. And one reason I know is that in the Wednesday Women's Bible Study, I asked the group, I said, have any of you ever felt like the Holy Spirit empowered you to witness, to say something you weren't ready to say? And one hand quickly went up, and her story quickly tumbled out. I'll call her Lisa. And Lisa said that her in-laws were from a different faith tradition from her, and now her husband, and although they're very close, that's always been a little piece of friction in their relationship. Well, over Christmas, they were having dinner together at a restaurant, and her mother-in-law, Lisa's mother-in-law, said something about how she wished it could be Christmas all year long because everyone seemed so much kinder during the holiday season. And that, apparently, was the opening the Holy Spirit needed to spur Lisa on to start talking. And she told them about her faith, she told them about her prayer life, she told them what she thought about Jesus. She didn't worry about getting all the theology right, and she certainly didn't try to twist their arms in any way. She just told their story. And then, to her horror, she looked at her watch and she had been talking for an hour. And so she apologized to them and she said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that I kept talking about this stuff. I hope you'll forgive me. I hope you won't feel like I was trying to push anything down your throat. And they said, no, it's okay. Thank you. Now, as far as I know, they haven't become Christians since then. They didn't get down on one knee and pray right then and there. But Lisa said she hopes that God used that conversation to plant a seed, which one day might bear fruit. So as I was listening to her, I was kind of feeling nervous and anxious in myself, thinking about what if I were in her shoes and I discovered that I had done that, what would I think? And I asked her, I said, Lisa, were you nervous while all this was going on? Especially after all the years of buildup, were you nervous about this at all? And she just said, nope. And it made me realize that that must be what happens when you follow these two commands to wait on the Holy Spirit and witness. Thanks be to God. Amen.